Welcome to the Think Like an Innovator podcast. I am Paul Sloan, and in each episode, I tell you the stories of great thinkers, leaders, and innovators. We explore what motivated them and the approaches they used. We do this in order to draw out some inspiration and lessons that we can profit from. The stories are based on my book, Think Like an Innovator, published by Pearson. Sir Charles Dunstan is the co-founder and former chairman of Carphone Warehouse, a UK company that became the world's largest mobile phone retailer. He started a business degree at Liverpool University, but dropped out after spending a gap year working for Torch Computers. And then he joined the Japanese electronics company NEC. He worked there as a salesman promoting mobile phones. In those days, the 1980s, cell phones were large, awkward and expensive. They were sold in corporate contracts, mainly to large corporations. Dunstan foresaw a big growth in the business, particularly for small businesses and individual users who, until then, were poorly served. He decided to gamble his life savings of £6,000 on the opportunity. In 1989, at the age of 25, he set up his own business selling mobile phones from his apartment in central London. He called his company Carphone Warehouse in order to appeal to a mass market. Growth was spectacular. When his company made its initial public offering on the London Stock Exchange in 2000, it was valued at £1.7 billion. In 2014, Carphone Warehouse merged with Dixons to form Dixons Carphone. In 2005, Dunstan was named the Daily Telegraph's Business Person of the Year. He was knighted in 2012 for services to the mobile communications industry and to charity. Let me tell you one story about Charles. In 2003, Carphone Warehouse started selling a new model, the Razr mobile phone from Motorola. Sales were doing well, but Dunstan's marketing team noted something unusual. Some 80% of the sales of this model were to men and only 20% to women. Dunstan was curious to know why. His team investigated and reported that the phone was available only in black and silver grey, both rather masculine colours. Dunstan called the head of Motorola's phone business in Europe and asked if it would be possible to produce the Motorola Razr in bright pink. Coloured phones were relatively rare at the time. The answer was cautious but positive. Dunstan then asked if Carphone Warehouse could have a worldwide exclusive on a pink Razr. The Motorola chief replied that it would be possible, but there was a minimum order. "How big is the minimum order?" asked Dunstan. "250,000 units, was the answer. Dunstan gathered his team together and discussed the idea. What would they do with 250,000 pink phones? What if the phones were not popular? Would they be able to shift them with promotional offers and special deals? They weighed up the risks and rewards and decided they could handle the downside. Dunstan placed the order. The only place in the world where you could get a pink Razr was Carphone Warehouse. In the end, over 600,000 units were sold. It was a gamble that paid off. Insights for innovators. Roll the dice. Innovative leaders like Sir Charles Dunstan make careful bets. He saw a gap in the market for mobile phone services for small businesses, so he bet his savings on launching his company. He made a series of acquisitions that enabled him to take on and outmaneuver large incumbent European telephone companies. His company was more agile than its larger competitors. Secondly, spot a gap in the market. Dunstan's team analysed the market and saw an opportunity for a phone that was more appealing for women. Wherever there is an unmet need, there is an opportunity for innovation. Thirdly, calculate the risks. Weigh up the options and be prepared to take a gamble. If you feel confident it is the right thing to do, do it. Do the maths, but trust your intuition. Estimate the downside risk by asking, what is the upside and what is the worst that can happen? Dunstan was able to take a big risk on the pink razor because he knew he had estimated the downside. Rob Law studied product design at Northumbria University. One of his course assignments in 1997 was to come up with new designs for luggage. He did some research by going to a local department store. He wandered around the suitcase section and found no inspiration whatsoever. But when he went into the toy department, he had a brainwave. Why not make a piece of luggage which was also a ride-on toy for children? The trunky, as he called it, was a classic weird combination. A small suitcase for children that could be pulled along and which they could sit on. After graduating, he developed this idea and presented it to luggage companies, who dismissed it because they thought it was really a toy. Similarly, toy companies were not interested because they considered it to be luggage. So he parked the idea and went travelling. When he returned to England in 2002, he endeavoured to raise funding. He found a toy company which was prepared to act as a licensee for the product, but then the company went bankrupt. He was used to rejection and hardship. He had suffered from cystic fibrosis for all his life. His twin sister died of the condition when they were 15. Maybe this was what made him so determined and resilient. In 2002, he was successful in gaining a grant from the Prince's Trust, who also provided him with a mentor and business advice. He took out a £10,000 loan and started to manufacture. In 2006, he presented the idea on the TV programme Dragon's Den, in front of a panel of stern entrepreneur investors, experts in business. His presentation started well, and he asked for an investment of £100,000 for a 10% share in his company. The company was called Magmatic. But then things went downhill. Theo Paphitis, chairman of the Ryman chain of stations, pulled off one of the straps and made fun of the product. Fellow Dragon Deborah Meaden, chief of a holiday business, firmly stated that there was no market for the ride-on suitcase. Peter Jones, the aloof telecoms magnate, said, "I meet people like you all the time. You think you have something, I tell you you don't. Within 7 days, I could do a better job than that. Your company is currently worthless." Commenting on the experience a year later, Rob Law said, "When I went on the programme, I was full of confidence that I was going to get the investment I needed. But they ripped me to shreds. I was absolutely gutted. They were rude and obnoxious and just focused on the strap, which was actually something that was quite easily fixed." He went on, "I was terrified that by appearing on the programme, I may have ruined my company before it had even started. But afterwards, we had loads of hits on the website from people who said they thought it was a brilliant idea. Now I am absolutely delighted to have proved the Dragons wrong. It just goes to show you should never give up." His trunky design went on to win over 100 awards. Over 3 million have been sold in some 100 countries around the world. He has observed that parents saw the ride-on suitcase as a cute container, but children saw it as a friend. Originally, trunkies were made in China, but in 2012, Rob Law set up a factory in Plymouth. He now employs 80 people in Plymouth and in his office in Bristol. Magmatic has expanded to produce many different trunky designs, as well as backpacks, neck supports and fold-up bicycles. All of their products are designed in England and distributed worldwide. Lessons for innovators. Try weird combinations, like a suitcase and ride-on toy. Wander into different departments and places to get ideas and inspiration. Experts often get it wrong. The Dragon's Den failed to see the potential of the product. The prototype will often have flaws, such as the strap which came away. But the key question is, will customers like this? If the answer is yes, then the details can often be fixed. Trust the customers, not the experts. If you have a great idea, then publicity can be really useful. Rob Law's appearance on Dragon's Den appeared to be a disaster, but in fact it generated tremendous awareness and interest in his product. And finally, be determined and resilient. For innovators, inventors and entrepreneurs, rejection comes with the territory. If you like these short podcast stories, then please consider the book Think Like an Innovator by Paul Sloan, published by Pearson, on which all of these stories are based.